Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, live from fake Martha's Vineyard, is Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello. It's nice to be here stalking the Obamas in front of the Obama Martha's Vineyard home.
I know.
Really, it's beautiful.
I can't believe you got the invitation. It looks wonderful. We're on video. We're on video every day these days. So if you want to watch our videos, go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you support us on Crappens On Demand, you'll get access to the videos. You get access to all the videos. It's great. A week early. And then after a week, they go up onto YouTube. So you can go check us out on YouTube, Watch What Crappens On YouTube. So go do that. Also on Patreon, there is a bonus episode every week. So that's also a super fun thing to listen to and for us to record. But also, we're here. We're coming towards the end of May. And then in June, the tour picks up again for the final six stops. It's going to be a wild and fun ride. We're going to San Diego. We're going to St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, Boston. And then we're going to finish it all up at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. Go to watchcrappens.com to get your tickets. Don't miss out, because once the shows are done, then that's it. That's it. Sorry, North America. No more touring for the rest of the year. Maybe not until next year. Who knows when we'll start up again. So go check that out. And then today we are here to talk some Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which I personally am absolutely loving. I think this season is so, so good. I'm having a great time. This is the third episode. We talked about the second episode briefly on our bonus episode last week, but now we're back with a full proper recap, okay?
Okay. You know, this is a great show. There are so many shows on. We were asking you guys what to keep, what we should throw to the back burner. This one won by a landslide in feedback. You guys were all really wanting this show to be covered. And guess what? We're glad, because we love this show. It's amazing. And it resonates especially this season, because Summer House has not had the best season. Okay.
Yeah.
And Summer House has been diluting its brand with this Winter House bullshit nonsense.
I agree.
Been throwing down our throat. And so it was actually really nice to have a good version of Summer House, because hopefully it'll keep the other Summer House on its toes, or get it on its toes in the first place. Because guess what? It's not on its toes right now. Okay.
It's not on its back.
Yeah. It's on its back.
It's not on its boat shoes. It's on its back, Mario. It's in its white jeans. Yeah. No, like other Summer House. I mean, we've gotten all wrapped up in the stupid Lindsay Danielle drama, so people are definitely whipped up in it. But the actual season has been like not great. And I think you just made a great point that Winter House is diluting it a bit. And I think that now, like, Martha's Vineyard is really showing what happens when you put like people who are just, I feel like there's like real friendships in there, and I guess people on Summer House have real friendships at this point, but I just feel there's like more of an awareness of the camera on Summer House now that's like not as appealing. But this show, whatever, fuck that show for the moment. This show is so good. Love this cast. I'm like, oh God, I love Jasmine. And you know, Amir, the first time we did a recap, I was like, he's such a fuckboy. But guess what? I love Amir. Oh man, I hate it. I was like, I feel like he's a fuckboy. But he's won me over. I don't know. I don't know what to do with myself.
Really?
Yes.
I like him. I mean, I didn't not like him in the beginning. So I like him, I guess, the same amount. But he does that, like, a bro thing where he's like, you want to fight, bro? Yeah. And like, whenever he gets mad, he's, as Leanne Locken would say on Real Housewives of Dallas, bow at me.
I think it was the scene where he was like carrying a ladder around the house, like doing some weird stuff. And I was like, okay, I think Amir
that's
won
when
me
he
over,
won you over
the ladder yes. stuff. Yeah. Ladder.
I did like that when they say, God, we're always trying to figure out what Amir is doing. He's, you know, carrying a ladder, or he's sauteing something like that. Something so crazy. I'm like, marry the person right now. That's what you do.
Please do that.
I've literally never dated somebody that I'm like, oh my God, look at him sauteing things and carrying around a ladder. I would be married by now.
Please do it. Someone. Yeah, no, I'm all into this cast. So shall we dive in? Should we dive back into?
Oh, speaking of diving in, I Please. Actually have to say thank you to Bravo for that Little Mermaid commercial. Did you see it, Ben?
You know, I did see it. It was a great
thank you.
Great combo.
It's the best movie tie-in we've had on Bravo. The Little Mermaid starring Sheree, Sonia, and the Countess. Sheree and Sonia are sitting on the beach, and Sonia's got like opera glasses, and she's like, oh my God, what is that? Luann? Is that Luann out there on the rock? And it just cuts to Luann sitting on a rock in a blue like ball gown dress going, oh, it's like, is somebody running over the Little Mermaid in reverse? What's happening to the Little Mermaid?
It really does explain Luann's singing voice, though. You know, like, now we understand. Oh, Ursula stole it. Now all of her songs make sense.
Girl, they would have been a totally different plot. Ursula would have been giving the voice back. She's like, I'll do whatever you want. Just please don't stick me with this voice.
My poor unfortunate ears. Please, please just take Ariel's voice and sing your songs.
Each one of you has been with Tom. You poor unfortunate holes in pain, in need.
Oh, and now I'd like to sing a song that I dedicate to Bethany Frankel when she has sex under the C-word, under the C-word. Life is better when it's wetter under the C-word.
Like, is she combing her hair with a fork? Coming out May 26th. Wow. Okay. Sorry. Let's get on with Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. We didn't mention that during Real Housewives of Atlanta, and I literally died. I died watching that. So yeah. Good.
Yeah. Bravo. And just the idea that they would put Luann and Sonia with Sheree was like a great twist. I was not expecting that, you know?
Yeah.
So now we're back. We're at a cliffhanger last week, which is that this guy, Phil, came into the house. He's like 8 feet tall, and he came in and he has a huge amount of entitlement because he claims that he reserved a bed, even though he wasn't in the house, but he told Bria, who is the house's dippity dot, okay? And he told Bria, is that a phrase? Dippity dot? I don't know.
It is lately with you. Bop. This is not the first time. Yeah, you said bippity bop, and now there's a dippity dot.
She's a dippity dot. She's a dippin' dot. I don't know what I'm saying. She's a hula hoop. So,
a hoolity hoop, though.
She's a hoolity hoop. She's a Don Diddley. Oh, like James Kennedy. Don Diddley. Anyway, I'm going to say bippity bop. Going back to bippity bop. I think it's because Don bippity says bippity bop a lot. It's like, she's
I'm
a bippity bop.
Oh, is that where it comes from?
I think so. I think I just took Dom's language.
She had
FaceTimed Phil in on a house tour on the first day, and Phil said, put a note on that bed. That's going to be mine. And which she didn't do, and even if she had done, that does not count. You're not here.
You don't get to call things when you're not here.
Yeah, you don't get to hold down an entire room for 3 days, 3 or 4 days if you're not there. Yeah,
I agree with you. I think that that's uncool. But here's my opinion. Phil never should have left. He's amazing. He's amazing TV. The show was amazing every second he was on it. It was hilarious. Of course, yeah. I disagree with him because he got his revenge by going into Nick's room. And he's like, fuck Nick, which he didn't really know yet, but he was right. I mean, Nick is kind of a douchebag. So he was right in being like, fuck that guy. He stole my room. And then he's like, I'm going to shit in his toilet. So then he shit in Nick's toilet and then didn't flush it and then told Nick. And so then Nick got all mad about it, even though he already knew about this before. He found out and he's like, I don't think we should be doing this. And he's like, but I already told you I shit in your bathroom. So now Phil's like, why are you guys coming for me? I already said I shit in his bathroom. And Phil's starting to get whiny like a little boy who's gotten in trouble.
Exactly. So like the cliffhanger was basically just Phil just being like a dick. And then Amir just coming up to him being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you're acting like you own this place and you like you haven't been here. Like, we've been here for 4 days. We've already established shit. Like, we already created dynamics. We chose rooms. And so then Phil sort of like steps to him like he's going to like he says something like, shut your small mouth or like something or like I'm going to beat your small ass.
All I heard
like
was short.
Because short.
This was one of those moments. Oh, hold on. I'm just making sure I'm not running over my dog with my cherry sitting at my feet. This is one of those moments. Have you ever been in front of a funhouse mirror and been like, is this the fat mirror or the thin mirror? Like, sometimes my body dysmorphia is so weird. I'm not really, I think I look fine, even in a funhouse mirror, I guess is what I'm saying. And this is a moment I'm having with Amir in Phil's face, because Amir tries to step to Phil, right? And he starts like bowing and going like, come on, because we already live here. So what are you going to do about it? This is our house. And then Phil just like looks down at him and I'm like, is Phil... In fun mirror, like, is Phil the tall mirror or is Amir the short mirror? Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, which one of them is 2'2"? Which one of them?
Yeah, which one's out of the median range? And like, who is in the?
That's a very
like,
how many long standard? Way to say that,
how many
sorry.
Standard deviations apart? Who is more standard deviations apart? And
are you tiny, or are you tall?
I think happening? I think it's all of the above. Because we see actually later on, they say Amir is 5'7", and then they say and Phil is so tall. At one point, he's like walking out of the room, and like his forehead is like the door. Peaks at his forehead, so it's like it's small and tall together, and we also have this strange angle from like a security camera, so everything is just sort of crazy, and so anyway, they're like Amir's like, yeah, let me show you what this small ass can do to your big ass, you know, which was hot. So
that was kind of hot. I mean, literally, both of them are really cute.
They are.
So
to be honest.
Yeah. So Phil's like, how close do you want me to get? Short. And then Preston is pushing Amir back. And he's like, come on, guys. And Amir's like, respect the house. And then Amir tells us his backstory. He's like, bullying is a huge trigger for me. Because I got bullied in school. Because, you know, I'm like really smart. I'm like an Urkel type dude. And then when he said that, they cut right to Nick's face. Not very nice. Not very nice. Hilarious. Not nice.
Yeah. I love when people say bullying is a huge trigger for me. Because imagine the person who says, you know what? Bullying is not really a trigger for me. I'm like, not really bothered by it. Like, of course.
Yeah.
But bullying is a trigger for everyone. If bullying wasn't a trigger, it wouldn't be bullying is no longer bullying, right? So
also, I just, you know, here's the thing. And I don't want to take away anyone's experience from when they're young. Because I don't know who's been bullied and who has not been bullied. Here's what I will say. Hot people shouldn't complain about bullying. I don't care if it was true. I don't care if you got hot yesterday. At some point, you're hot enough where you're not allowed to say you were bullied. Mm. Because you're hot now. You know what I mean? Like, you eventually won. I don't want to hear about your bullying. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I don't need to even talk any like, more than that. I'm upset because he's too hot to complain about.
I know, you're too hot.
You're watering it down for the rest of us, okay? Some of us really had to go through some shit, dude. And you're like a fucking supermodel up here. Everyone's in love with you. And you're like, yeah, I'm not going to take bullies because I was bullied because I'm so smart. I'm like, really?
I know. That's why they cut to Nick, because they're like, this is a better example of someone who was bullied. Poor Nick. He sort of reminds me of like a cartoon turtle, you know? Like, I can sort of see him like poking his head out and being like, I'm Nick.
No.
Look at me, DMs. I'm bullying Nick. There's
You're
something.
Bullying.
I literally just bullied Nick and that was like so unwarranted. I'm sorry, Nick, but I meant that with love. I think cartoon turtles are the cutest. So
totally made up for it.
That made up for it, you know? So Amir is basically telling Preston and Silas that like Phil's disrespecting people and the house and everything. He's like, this shit will escalate and I have no problem handling business.
But I love all the clips they show. This is Phil already has a clip a greatest of clip section because that's how good Phil is, okay? They're like, he came in here disrespecting anyone. And it goes 5 minutes earlier and Phil going up to Preston and Preston trying to tell something to Phil and Phil says, if that shirt was one size bigger. And then he took a shit in Nick's toilet. Another greatest hit. And Phil going, I did take a shit in your toilet. And then he came, said something about Alex. And then meanwhile, Amir's trying to be all tough. And so he has his hand down his pants, like grabbing his wiener. Amir, please stop. Please just you're embarrassing, okay, with your bullying and your hand down your pants. Stop it.
You know, Phil would do great on Winterhouse, actually. He has the chaotic, real-world, like, Muna Murray energy that Winterhouse is aspiring for. So maybe just, like, send him over to that show, because I think he'd be great there.
So Preston's like, that's it. He said my shirt was too small. He's got to go. Oh, I'm done with him. And Alex is like, well, if he doesn't go, then I'm done. So everyone starts making this big stand.
Oh, God, Alex.
Phil has to go. We are all agreeing. You are all idiots. Phil is the best thing that's ever happened to this show in the two episodes that it took for him to get here. How dare you?
Yeah, like, if this show were more established, I think people would view Phil as, like, the Alison Dubois of Summer House Martha's Vineyard. As in, he's, like, this thing that was there for 1 second and then gone, but made a lasting impression. So Shanice comes downstairs, and she's like, well, what the hell happened in 30 seconds? I just went upstairs. And Jasmine's going around and she's like, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, black man. I appreciate you, black man. And I appreciate you and know that I love you and everything. And then she says, Phil and I have never met in person before, but like Shanice knows him and Bria knows him. And we've spoken on the phone several times and I just want him to feel welcome. And I'm looking forward to his energy. I'm like, okay, we've got 30 seconds of you appreciating his energy before he drives you nuts too. Okay,
right. So she goes up to Phil and she's like, okay, Phil, so when were you supposed to come? And he goes, why does it matter? Like yesterday, the day before that, who cares? And she goes, oh, okay, so you weren't supposed to be here the first day? And he's like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here every day. Like he's on the defensive because he just assumes that she's going to be coming for him, but she's not.
Yeah.
And she's like, why are you cursing at me? Like, I'm trying to talk to you. And he's like, okay, I'm sorry. She goes, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on because like I'm tired of all this bullshit. And he goes, I shit in his toilet. I mean, big fucking deal. Like, who cares? And she goes, but why? And he's like, because it was my toilet. And she's like, but he didn't know it was your toilet because no one told him. And he's like, that bippity bop, that's not my fault. Why aren't we cursing at Bria right now? And maybe even Milo. Let's curse at fucking Milo. She goes,
I support that. I support cursing at Milo.
But why would we curse at Milo? I hate when people have no sense of humor. He's obviously kidding. And she's like, but why would we yell at Milo?
He goes, well, because he pissed me off earlier because he had me chasing him around the house. I mean, have you ever tried to catch Milo? I'll give you 100 right now. I will put 100 on the table right now if you can't catch him. And Jordan's like, that's beside the point. Well, she's getting annoyed. I think she knows it's a joke, but she's getting annoyed because he's deflecting and he's being like, and she's trying to like actually, he's sort of being hostile towards her. And then he's like deflecting when she's calling him out on it. And then Phil's like, beside the point, like I'm putting up cold hard cash to prove my point. And so Shanice comes on. It's like, Phil, what is going on here?
Like, what's going on? Car. I love that she's so dorky, this girl. I love a dorky playboy model. Like, I just love that. I love that character in general. She's just like, hey, what's going on over here? And he's like, you're my favorite. And Jordan's like, you know what? You're being rude. And I'm trying to. And he's like, I'm not being rude to you. I just called you cute. And then he looks at her boobs. This guy is such a pig.
She's like, oh, I'm so desperate for Phil to call me cute. My life is made. So happy, you know? So Silas, meanwhile, is like, I want to call a house meeting. And so Jasmine starts like gathering people. And then she goes to people. She goes, okay, hey guys, ladies, come in here. And Phil goes, and gentlemen. So then Jordan's like, oh, are you a gentleman? Because you don't get that title. You've been rude as fuck. You get the title of motherfucker sitting on a couch. I love
and
that.
And Phil's like, okay, so you're mad that I shit in Nick's toilet? I'll shit in your toilet next. You know, it's like, it's just, and then we get another uts. We get multiple poops. Yeah. And so Jordan's like, do it. So now she starts mirroring it where she's like too mad at this guy who's obviously kidding. And she's like, do it then. Go upstairs. In this house, we flush toilets, bitch. And now she's too mad.
It.
And Preston's like, oh, my God. And she goes, I'll watch you. I watch you do it, bitch. Go ahead, bitch. And she's screaming about pooping. And then Preston's like, yeah, I'm not into the whole spitting in the mouth thing, which I guess is because she's yelling. And Preston goes, Jordan's about to whoop his ass, everybody. And it's like, you think I'm scared? I will watch you shit.
I loved it because I feel like Phil was being a total dick. I mean, like, he was. I mean, he was like definitely, yes, he was making jokes too, but like, he was being a dick and he was disrespectful to Jordan. And I love that she's just like, no, fuck you. Fuck you. Come into this house and you think you're just going to like have a moment. You have a reality show moment, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what? Fuck you. So now they have a house meeting. They don't have it, but Silas keeps saying, we're going to have a house meeting. And so the producers are making Phil stay in the kitchen while everyone is going to gather downstairs in the basement, you know, and Phil's like, wait, I just got here. I'm already on a time out. They're like, yes, you are.
Yeah, the producers are like, yes. I love that he's already surrounded by all the producers. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. You know, the second this guy comes in, which again is a good sign of a good cast member, guys.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
From Wondery comes a new series, Flipping the Bird, Elon versus Twitter, a story about what happens when the richest man on the planet decides to acquire a powerful social media company in the name of free speech. But does he have what it takes?
It started off promising.
Or is this all just about Elon?
He's essentially mad that his tweets aren't performing as well as he would have expected them to.
It really just felt like, okay, this really is just a platform being ruled by a dictator who does things on his own whims.
And what will be left of Twitter by the time he's done?
Basically, my entire team was gone. By the end of it, infrastructure was just completely gutted. He'll like tweet a thing and then everyone's like, we gotta work on that now because he tweeted it.
I'm supposed to believe this man is a genius.
It just felt like everything was kind of descending into chaos.
Follow Flipping the Bird wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to episodes ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
So then Jordan's like saying she's frustrated, and Nick's like, yeah, he took a shit in my bathroom, and I'm frustrated. Like, I didn't even bring pants for that moment. And I have a pair of pants for every moment in this house. And Silas is like, okay, everybody, house meeting. When somebody has the football, they can talk. This is the talking football. And they're like, oh, for fuck's sake. Of course, the one who says that always starts holding the talking thing.
Always.
You don't get to declare only I can talk in a meeting. Fuck off. You're not even the one with any problems in this house.
I also want to mention that whoever's holding the football also is allowed to stay up till 3 a.m. at a bar and can accept free drinks. So unless you're holding the football, I'm sorry, that's just going to be off the table for you.
Yeah, controlling ass Silas, of course. So then Nick's like, so can we just interject because we're adults and we probably don't need a football? And Silas is like, I'm married, and so I feel better that we have the football. So the issue we have here is Phil disrespecting a large number of people who have really been making an effort to come home at a godly hour, yes, which I appreciate.
Okay. I also just want to point out another rule of football. You can only hold it if you're married. So I just want to get this to Jasmine right now. Jasmine, Jasmine, I have to take it away from you. I don't want you staying up till 3 a.m. So you can no longer hold this football. Sorry about that. So basically they have a vote like, okay, all those in favor of kicking Phil out of the house because he's like a dick, everyone raises their hand. All opposed, it was like no one. So they're like, okay, well, Phil has to leave.
Well, but also this sucks because Mariah's not included in this. Like, they don't even think to include Mariah. Hello, she's a housemate. But
yeah, how do they not do that?
Meanwhile, Mariah, because Mariah's kind of in the outside area where her room's in the separated part of the house, so like the guest house or whatever. So she comes into the kitchen and sees Phil. Well, she loves Phil, right? Because Phil takes nothing seriously, and she thinks that Phil's going to change her luck in the house. So he's like, hey, you all right? You got a roommate yet? She goes, no, you got a room yet? So it looks like, okay, this is going to work out. But they've just voted him out, right? So yeah. Mariah goes, God, I wish we had some sazon. And he goes, what's sazon? She goes, seasoning. And he goes, bring some sazon.
By the way, though, but Jasmine, who's like best friends with Mariah, how do you not like say, hey, we can't start this meeting without Mariah, you know? Like, how do you do that? You know, but I guess maybe, but also they probably thought like it was only going to be a meeting about Phil. So who the hell cares, right? because it was so clear they're going to kick him out, but they just have to go through the formality of doing a house meeting, because probably the producer said you have to do a house meeting. It's like, okay, let's just do the house meeting. But there's a twist, because because Jasmine's like, well, whoever invited Phil needs to have the conversation with Phil. So Bria, I'm going to make you have a difficult conversation. And Bria's like, well, fuck this. That's my friend. And now you want me to have to be the one to kick him out? I'm going to turn this all around on you.
Right. And she's like, well, do you guys not recall what Mariah did to me right before we left dinner? And then we see 6 hours ago where Mariah's like, you put dog shit in the dryer with clean towels. And then it became like a light push.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a light push. I think they were unfair to Mariah here. Your hands on somebody. I get it. But you guys are being drama queens.
Violence
being
is never the answer. Babies. Don't put your hands on someone.
It wasn't violence, though. But like, don't put your hands. I get it. But
shoved laundry into her. She's like, take this laundry. She shoved it into her. It was rude. I don't think it was a kick out of the houseable offense. I think this was an attempt to be really... it was an attempt by, I think, well-intended people to try to respect and honor the voice of someone who felt that they had been aggressed. But that being said, this was not violence. I'm sorry. This was not taking a swing. This was not like... this was like, take this laundry. Here, take this laundry. I thought it was rude.
It wasn't right,
but
it could have been... Yeah, it deserved a talk. It didn't deserve...
It deserved a, if you do this again, we'll kick you out. Not a, we're just going to kick you out. And you're not going to get a chance to defend yourself either, by the way.
I agree, and I'm just going to go on the record again. Jasmine sucks, okay? Because that's supposedly her best friend who she slept out of a car with. And by the way... You're the reason you slept out of a car, because you told her to come and didn't tell her you were getting kicked out of your place. So she got stuck with your ass in her car. She didn't even decide to live with you in the car. You basically made her come to New York City and then slept in her car. And now you're going to do this?
Mm-mm, this is a two for two for the bait and switch of Jasmine and Mariah's lodgings. Okay? This is two. First time, come up to New York.
Right.
And Mariah comes up to New York. Guess what? We're sleeping in your car. Hey, come to Martha's Vineyard. Hey, guess what? We're going to make you look like a super violent, angry lady and kick you off the island. That's not fair. And Mariah was my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, this was not cool. So someone asked. They're like, well, where is she? She should be here too. And Bria's like, well, she lives here too, but can we just say she put her hands on me? And Nick goes, no, she didn't. And she goes, if we're talking about this, then she needs to go because she put her hands on me. And if my friend's got to go, then Jasmine's friend's got to go. So yeah. Silas is like, okay, well, Bria has stated that Mariah assaulted her. I have the talking football. Let's take a vote. I'm like, ugh.
This was crazy. To me, this really read like it was a... I'm not trying to take away the voice of people who have, you know...
Had laundry pushed into them? I am. I'm sorry that hurt you so badly.
This came from a place of revenge. This came from a place of spite. Like, ha. Like, if you're going to do this to me, I'm going to do it to you. Not from a place of, like that was a really violent thing. Now people will say, oh, but you know, you don't know what trauma she's been through. You don't know what that brings up and yada, yada, yada. Honestly, I think what this deserved was Mariah, come down here. We as a group, we did not like that you put your hands on Bria. It was totally wrong. But we know you as a person and we're saying we're going to let slide this time, but if you do it again, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Not just be like, I just feel like it elevated also Mariah's wrongdoings to what Phil was doing. And I think what Phil was doing was so much worse that I thought I vote to keep Mariah. I say vote Milo out.
Well, it's also that Amir was just about to get physical with Phil and they had to pull him away. They're acting like what Mariah did is this horrible. Yeah. I don't like it. It's pissing me off. And Jordan, too. Jordan's like, well, I really like Mariah, but I saw it and it was bullshit. And we see Jordan telling Jasmine about it when they were at the club. And the way that she pushed Jasmine to show like the example was not how she was pushed. So this whole thing, cool to me.
It was disrespectful. Like it was disrespectful. To push someone is disrespectful, but I don't see that as
it wasn't the same way that Jordan gave the example.
Right.
Jordan did it just, like, boom, and that's not what happened. She took the laundry. She's like, you can take your laundry. Okay.
She's like, take it, and like put it into her chest.
And you know what? And this is what fucking Bravo does to you, that we're still talking about this to this level of detail, because we have to. Whenever something like this happens on Bravo, you have to go over it frame by fucking frame. You know, we've done this for long enough.
I know.
You have to do it. And I declare unfair.
I declare unfair too. I'm in total solidarity with you. And what's annoying is to know that there will be tweets being like, no, it's unacceptable on any level. And then we're going to have to be like, no, but this is what I mean. It's like,
well, here's my apology. I'm not apologizing. That wasn't violence. And anybody who's saying it is not being cool. And you're being unfair by labeling any woman, but especially a black woman, as a violent, you know, aggressor when she got mad about laundry. So give me a fucking break. There's my answer to you. There's my pre-answer to you.
Okay,
but I have to take a break a moment. First of all, I'm getting too mad about something that's stupid and I don't care about. Second, I have to point out Ben on YouTube is the color of Louie from Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I am the color of Bat Boy. So not really sure why that is. But
Bat Boy. What?
I look like Bat Boy. No. I'm totally white. I look like I'm going to suck some blood.
I've been tanning in this beautiful Martha's Vineyard sun. My life goal is to look like Louis. You know what? It's just all, it's like, some, why? What is it about Summer House? Why is it like, is every franchise a Summer House? We want, it's like, you wind up like having argument. We're not even arguing with each other. We're like arguing with theoretical people who are arguing with us back. But
right, we're on the same side.
But
on
by
this,
the way,
so
and you read, you just read like right into my brain. I totally agree with everything you just said. I back you 100%. So
thank you.
Bria is
you too.
No,
I love
yeah.
you. You always have my talking football.
Oh, you have my talking football.
Yeah.
So that means we get to interrupt each other for the rest of the time. So either way, Jasmine. Now they basically are like, yeah, we got to put up Mariah, which felt like total bullshit because it's like she's been in the house for 3 days. They don't even give her a chance to talk. Like, I understand not giving Phil a chance to talk because he just got there. But Mariah's been in this household. So,
yeah. And also, I thought we had hope because Silas says, well, I want to recommend that we draw the line that if you physically assault another cast member, that you're gone. I love that he said cast member. First of all, they're already like, we're on a TV show. And if you do that, then you're gone. So I thought, OK, we'll draw that line now. And just tell Mariah. But instead, he goes, okay, so Mariah has to leave.
We've just had to make a new law.
No, the line wasn't drawn.
And we've retroactively decided you're guilty. Great.
After you dissed her moon mask? Come on, you guys are heartless people.
Well, don't forget, by the way, to be fair, Bria's not comfortable with Mariah in the house. Don't you remember? She has an emotional support dog, okay? It all makes sense now, guys.
Oh, yeah. This is revenge for fucking Milo because she teamed up with Jasmine to come for Milo. And I think this is Bria's revenge. And it goes back to Ben not liking that damn dog in the first place now. No. I'm not going to hold this against Milo. I'm a dog person. I'm a Milo person. I think Milo's adorable. But fuck Bria. I'll say that.
Yeah. Honestly. So Jasmine is like, okay, I'll have a conversation with Mariah. And she's like, Mariah's my best friend, even though she's not married. It's weird. It's weird having to talk to her. It's like a different language. But at the same time, I didn't see her put her hands on her, just like I haven't seen all those failed dates that she's gone on that haven't led to a marriage.
This is uncool to say she's my best friend, and yet you don't say that she's in the room. You don't let her have a say. You just let everybody railroad you and don't even argue. You put up no defense. You, ma'am, are a shit friend. You suck.
Okay. But hilarious TV to me personally.
Yeah, so, great on the show.
Great,
love
great,
your show.
Great work.
All
great
of you.
Work.
All of you all love of you. Your show. But love you're it. A shit person and a shit friend. And I will never let you sleep in my car.
So. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let really anyone sleep in my car, to be honest. Unless it's like a family member or a good friend and they need the shelter.
I mean,
but
there.
Like, I guess when I said anybody, I really meant like people from Bravo, you know?
Well, that's true. You don't want a Bravo person.
I don't want
you
a
come
Bravo
out to
person.
Get in your car and you just hear, oh, oh.
Like my transmission.
Get out of my car with your fucking fork and your ball gown, okay?
So Nick finally flushes the poop. And
five hours post-poop. He didn't. Okay, so Nick, let me get this straight. Phil goes up to you and says, I shit in your bathroom. You get mad at him. Then you come home. You get mad at him again. You still never went. You went down and you looked at the poop. Then you came up and you got mad again. You never flushed the poop. What were you expecting? Was it that important for you for Phil to go down and actually flush the poop himself? Flush the poop, guys. Yeah. I don't care if it's your poop. If you go into a public restroom and there is poop in the toilet, you don't go outside crying who pooped in there. You flush it. That's what happens to poop. We need to agree as a society, when you see poop, you flush the poop.
See something, say something. See something, yes. Poop, flush something. Look, yes. You know, he tried a power play where he said, Phil, I'm going to need you to flush that poop. And you know, Phil's never going to do that. In no world will Phil ever do that.
Phil's not going to flush the poop.
It's like when, you know, it's like when you're like reprimanding children, you can't threaten them with something that's not going to be able to follow through with, right? Like if you say you have to flush that poop, now you know you can never flush that poop because then you lose. But that's not realistic. You're going to have to flush that poop. So
you can't abuse him either anymore. Unfortunately, you can't just pinch the fuck out. You can't just say you flush that toilet or I'm going to pinch you, because that's physical assault. So what I did, what I used to do with my nieces is I would say, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to shock you. If you don't do it, they'd be like, no, you won't. And then I just like rub my hands on the carpet and then touch them and shock their ass. They'd be, ew. And they thought I was magic for the longest time, but it worked.
I just want to lay a ground rule. That on this podcast, if you put your electricity on somebody, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
So, Ronnie, you have to go. No, Ronnie. Because that was the rule before.
No, we retroactively decided that you were using static electricity for bad. Yeah.
All right. So first, Bria talks to Phil. Now, Bria, I'm not a fan of right now. I think she's an a-hole. But I do think she handled this very well. She goes, all right, come sit down. I'm going to lay into you. Everyone's uncomfortable with what you did. I didn't see it, but you got to go home.
I know. She just was like, boom. She just did it. She just said it. And he's like, what? He's like, I just got here. And he goes, it's your fault, unfortunately, because you were supposed to leave a note. And he said there was no note left. And I'm not gonna let be in trouble for this. I'm not going to do that. And Bria's like, does that justify you sitting in someone's toilet and not flushing it? And he goes, I could have done many other things. This is still your fault. I was like, Phil, excuse me. This is like your one friend in the house.
Phil, you idiot. So Preston and the girls are listening, and then they run off and they hear him stalking off. So his car arrives and he goes, oh my God, I took a shit in his toilet. What would Obama have done? And that's his final line. And he is taken out to a song called Bounce Bounce and driven away.
Luckily this time he didn't drop all of his bags on the front stoop like he did when he walked into the house.
He made it out. Yeah, he made it out this time. I also like the continuing storyline between Atlanta, which was before this show, and then this show, because Candy has a storyline about a girl bouncing in her face, and now we have a song called Bounce Bounce as Phil bounces. So I appreciate the continuity there.
Yeah. So Jasmine is now telling Silas that she just feels really nauseous, but I think it's because it's like after 11 p.m. and she knows he's gonna yell at her soon, so she's like, oh, what do I do? But Jasmine is like, she's like, I'm already in a space where I'm extra cautious with my friendships and how they've been evolving since the wedding. I was like, excuse me, just stop it. Stop it. Stop
this
it right
is gonna
now.
Be my first fight with Mariah as a married person, and for me that's a huge difference in friend fighting, so like, I'm really gonna have to work on that.
When you fight with someone and like they're single but you're married, do you just like throw rice in their face or like a bouquet? Like, how do you do it?
You know what? I'm going to give her a chance to take my garter off with her teeth. And if that doesn't work out, I just don't know.
I'm not sure if we can ever fix this. So Jasmine's like, so single person with you and Bria, like how upset you got. Like, I was like, Mariah, that's not you. You're like the person who's like sweet and calm and sitting at the singles table at weddings, you know? And like neither of you should have gotten into each other's face. I mean, it's not like you guys are two newlyweds putting cake in each other's face because it's so funny to do that at weddings, you know?
I mean, you still have to think about things like, how would this look on Tinder? You know what I mean? And Mariah's like, okay, well, I guess on that I can agree with you. She goes, and what really breaks my heart, which really isn't anything because it's like solid gold now that it's intertwined with someone else's heart,
and my heart, it's also represented in this pendant that my husband gave me. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of experience.
Yeah, it's like a James Avery heart now, unbreakable. So, you know, what really breaks my heart is that we had such a beautiful night that you put together for your moon mass that everybody completely rolled their eyes through and then went to bed early for and completely disrespected to your face. But according to everyone, you touched Bria, and that's a no-go.
And by the way, that was Jasmine's subtle or not so subtle way of saying, you know, you claim to be like all spiritual and one with the moon, but you shoved Bria, so don't act like you are like an earth, what do you call it?
Which was my point last week, and it's a valid point. You know, it's always those people who are like, oh my God, the crystals. Let's do crystals and a moon mass. They're the first person to like try and fight you, you know,
when things go.
And by the way, Alex, get ready because you're coming up next. Once this fight's over, it's all on Alex next.
Affirmations. So Mariah's like, wait, who saw me touch Bria? I want to see who that is. Show me who said they saw me touch Bria. And so, well, we all saw it. You did technically touch Bria.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to go totally bonkers here on your side. Yeah. So then Jasmine's like, well, the thing is, I wasn't there in the beginning. So I just, you know, I can't add different rules for different people. And, you know, I love you, but Bria brought up you being here as a problem. And as the host, I have to handle it the best way I know how. And we think that you leaving and going home is the best. You suck. God, you're a terrible friend. I hope everyone on this show dumps you, including your husband. You fucking suck. You have no fucking loyalty. Shame on you.
Oddly enough, I actually like Jasmine, but I agree she has zero loyalty in this situation. And she's been obnoxious. I think I just like that she's obnoxious. I have this terrible thing where I really like obnoxious people on Bravo. But she...
I like her. Yeah, this is just a situation. It's a situation.
A situational suckitude. But like, she's like, you know what? Bria is in a committed relationship, and that's just a little closer to marriage. So unfortunately, we're going to have to get rid of you. Single lady. So Mariah's like, I'm extremely shocked. Like, why do you feel so comfortable having conversations about me without me even there? And that's what she tells us. And Jasmine's like, are you okay now that we voted that we don't want you in this house anymore without letting you say anything? She's like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm going to go home and focus on my son, which, you know, I like that she said because... Jasmine can say she's married all she wants, but she can't say she has a kid yet. And I know that in like the stepstones to bragging rights, that one's right up there.
Yeah.
So, Jasmine's like, I'd love to keep talking, but I've been holding on to this pee. I'm like, oh God.
Great exit.
You get worse with every moment. So then, she talks about how, you know, she didn't see this going like this and it's uncomfortable, but she's always going to have Mariah's back, just like Mariah has hers. You didn't have her back.
You literally had no back for her. You held her back. You were a stool.
While they stabbed her in it. Shame on you.
You told Mariah to sit down in this chair, but you were a stool and she fell off the chair. She leaned back.
Yeah, backless. You're backless.
Literally did not have her back. So Shanice tells Preston that she wants to fuck Amir. So there's that. And then Shanice says, she starts employing some of her best seduction efforts very on the nose. Cause she basically is like, she goes in to take a shower and then Amir wants to take a shower. So he knocks on the door and he's like, is anyone in there? It's just me, bullied, nerdy Amir.
Yeah, it's just me, Urkel, out here. It's fucking. Six-pack Urkel out here. And she's like, oh, I'm in here. Who's out there? And he's like, it's me, Amir. And she goes, oh, you can come in here. And he's like, no, that's okay. And then she just comes out in her thong, topless. And Shanice is like, don't you have a bathroom? I'll be done in 10 minutes. Sorry about the booty.
I know, it was very obvious. And he's like, but he was like, but he's like, he goes, 21-year-old Amir, slightly post-Urkel, but not quite like sexy reality TV Amir, would probably see this as an opportunity in front of him, but I have a crush on Jordan, and sleeping with her best friend in that same house with her is not going to win me any brownie points. I'm like, you're on Bravo, right? You know you're on Summer House? You know this is like, you are supposed to do this. You are supposed to go for Jordan, but sleep with Shanice, and then grovel.
Give him time.
Excuse me, sir. You're on a reality TV show.
He'll just let the flower bloom, okay? The seed has just been dropped into the soil, sir.
Don't you know how this goes?
Oh, he knows.
Supposed to act like a dog.
So he's like, well, actually, it's not your booty. It's your tits. And then he looks at the camera in the room and he goes, did you get that? Give me a nod if you got it. And the camera goes, and nods. So funny. Also, why are his eyes so watery? I wonder if they had him in a crying scene and now they're talking about boobs. He looks like he's sobbing.
Maybe it's allergies. So
it's a bullying story. Like, they're like, okay, now that we're done with your 2 hours of people calling you Urkel in junior high, let's move on to Shanice showing you her boobies. He's like, okay, guys, okay. I can do this.
I just feel like I've never seen a hot guy on Bravo ever say, hey, I'm not gonna do something because that would be disrespectful to the girl I actually like. I'm like, this is strange. I don't know what to do with it. It's
bizarre. None of this makes any sense. Okay, so now Nick is texting someone. He's saying, you want to FaceTime later? I'm going to go on a run. And then we see Alex doing like fuckboy yoga in the backyard where he's just on his back with his like legs scrunched up to his face and he's just cornholing the camera.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, Alex. Okay, I see. Right. I see you, Alex.
Listen, he's being intentional with all his movement. And then Amir is checking on Mariah as she packs. And you said this the next day, right? This is so he's checking in on him. Well, it's the next day. It's sunny now.
I don't know what I said two seconds ago.
It's a spectrum of time.
It's over.
So Amir
is... I don't believe in the past, so...
Yeah, let's just, like, move on. Let's, like, not dwell on the past of last night.
Says a recapper whose life is spent dwelling on the past.
Literally like, rehashing.
Live in the now.
And bringing up things from 10 years ago. And remember the time, 10 years ago, when Jack Taylor, the biggest dog of all the dogs, when Jack Taylor came out and was like, wah. So Amir is basically saying he doesn't think that Mariah should have been forced out. I'm like, well... Then did you vote to force her out? Because I think I saw your hand go up.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it didn't.
This is also all his fault, which we find out. So he comes to Mariah's room and he's like, listen, you know, I just wanted to tell you I really liked you. You know, I really like you, basically. And she's like, thank you so much. Because no one goes to be nice to Mariah. Like, this is not a good group of people, which, by the way, great casting.
They must not have liked her. By the way,
I guess, but this was not nice. It's not a nice group. No one's going to say anything to Mariah, you guys. Not one of you. What did she do? But tried to have a nice moon night.
Have a nice moon ritual. That was on a cold night when everyone was just come back from the club and just wants to go to sleep. That's the worst thing she did. So then Bria is FaceTiming Simon, her like German lover. And he's like, Milo, say hi to daddy. Say hi to daddy, Milo. And she's like, I am so embarrassed right now, Simon. Like, Phil embarrassed me. Like, the Phil that I know is such a good friend to have. And he took me under his wing as a little sister. But I don't claim this Phil at all.
Who is this Phil? Who is this Phil? So then we go to Jasmine hugging Mariah goodbye. Still not another person has said a thing to Mariah. And then Bria and Shanice are by the pool and talking about...
Phil.
Basically, oh, should we call Phil? Should we call Phil and see how he is? And then Jasmine's telling Mariah, look, you're going to be fine. I know things right now are not good, but you're going to be good in the future. So then Shanice does call Phil. And he's like, what do you want? And she's like, why don't you just say sorry to everyone? I mean, you owe everyone an apology. That's all you have to do is say you're sorry.
He's like, for what? Shitting in someone's bathroom? And she's like, yeah, it's disgusting. Why would you do that? He goes, it's hilarious. Fuck all of you. I'm out. Bye.
Exactly. And she's like, that was rude. So then we go to Mariah and Jasmine. So Mariah, basically, it's like this little small talk thing, right? Mariah's not telling her, fuck you. She's just like, I'm just sorting things out, and I guess this helps me do that. And Jasmine's like, I'm going to give you your space, girl. She's like, fine. But today, she tells us, I'm mourning my friendships. Not only did they not talk to me first before siding with Bria, but they forgot who I am. And she gets her own song, and she leaves, and I could not believe they let her go.
I thought this would be like a resolution, everything, but no. Jasmine's like, "Yeah, I want to give you some. It's not that I want to give you space because I know you already have space because there's not like a guy next to you or even a girl. You're just single, so there's like inherently space next to you. I'm just gonna give you more space, and on top of the potential relationship space you have."
Yeah.
Under arm.
I want to give you at least as much space as you have in your twin bed at home. So, okay. Have a good drive back.
Just as much space as that empty seat on your tandem bicycle, okay?
Yeah. So Jasmine in the kitchen. Okay. Basically, she leaves. Okay, so now we're going to have field day. And then we see Amir. We see the anal side of Amir. Amir is in his room on a little ladder, and he's I'm assuming a big ladder because he's reaching the curtains. So it's a tall ladder, huge A-frame. And he's adjusting the double layers of curtains. And Jasmine's like, oh my God, guys, isn't it crazy the things we see Amir doing? I mean, sauteing something, bringing a ladder, folding clothes. I mean, that is crazy. He's a man. You can tell he's single because surely he'd have a wife doing that otherwise. That's her job after all.
So then Amir's coming around and he like basically casually drops that, oh, by the way, it was his fault. He was the one who threw Bria's dog stuff into the laundry. And he goes, yeah, that was my fault. And then Jordan's like, but why? And he's like, well, I was just doing laundry. I didn't realize. She's like, but why didn't you say anything? He's like, oh, it was too far gone. And we see the argument and flashback to the argument. And Amir sticks his hand up to be like, actually. And then he just puts his hand back down. Which was like funny as like a viewer. But I actually think that's so fucked up. Like, how is it that you can like scream at Phil and be like, like, you want to see what this short little ass does to you? But you can't be like, guys, stop yelling. I did this. This was my fault. He was just happy to watch these two, like, go at it. I'm mad at Amir again. This totally takes away all the ladder cred he had.
Yeah, that's incredibly uncool. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. Now Alex is going to go journal and meditate. Give me a fucking break, okay? And I say to you the same thing I said to Mariah. People who are like you are a damn mess. And I cannot wait to see what kind of a mess you are. You know? I'm like, I'm going to meditate. Really? You're a terrible person. I'm going to tell you that. Because I'm not saying good people don't meditate. Good people don't constantly talk about meditating and journaling.
Right.
They just do it, okay?
And Alex is like, so he's doing affirmations. He's like, I'm a visionary. I'm a leader. I have free access to creative genius. I'm like, sir, you were doing thirst trap photos the day before. I'm sorry. I mean, you can do thirst traps and you can have affirmations. But like, again, stop trying to act like you're about something deeper and something more holistic and more genuine than that.
Yeah, reading posting, your meditating.
Right. And then your post, you know, you're talking about like what your soul is about. And then you're posting thirst trap videos. Okay.
Exactly.
And then, oh God, he goes, there was a period of my life where I was just a fuckboy, and I wanted to be a player. And my approach to women was to be dishonest and get what I want out of a situation. It was meditation that made me realize that I wasn't being graceful to myself. And if you don't take care of yourself, you're going to hurt somebody else. I'm like, oh, so this is all past tense that you were a fuckboy? Like, we literally saw you were a fuckboy. As soon as you walked in, we were like, this guy's a fuckboy who's using meditation and affirmations and phrases about intentionality and like group therapy talk to try to mask his fuckboyery, but that is actually so classically fuckboy-y.
It really is. It's like, I'm so sick of people calling me a fuckboy, so now I'm going to pretend I'm a really deep spiritual person so I can fuck you. It's like, but that is being a fuckboy, dude. It is. I can't.
He's like the hot guy who shows up with a guitar. Like, his affirmations are a guitar that he straps on. He's like, hey, I'm just a wounded soul. I just like to write music. You're a fuckboy.
Yeah, well, he's got to have something because his cousin is John Legend, you know, which of course we find out about in episode one, you know, shocker. So he's got to have something. So he's just like a super, he's somebody, he's acting like he's already, he is John Legend. And he's walking around going mind, like, blessed. You know, I just journaled for this, guys. I journaled for this career. It's like, you're not famous, dude. And then even the way he says it, he goes, I've been observing the practice of meditation for 3 years. Oh, really? You've been observing the practice of meditation? Fuck off.
Well, okay. So as someone who meditates and has affirmations, then he then goes downstairs. He says to Shanice, last night, personal space, Shanice. I'm watching you. You don't know personal space. So you're just going to be like a dick. a dick out of nowhere, not going to explain anything. You're just going to be condescending in a dick. Is that, was that part of your affirmation?
Yeah, just being a jerk to somebody. Yeah, just being a complete asshole to somebody who's also new, by the way. She's like new fairly to the group. It's not fair. But also I was going to say, after going off about Alex and what a piece of shit he is because of his fake meditation personality, I have to say that is some of the most beautiful skin I've seen in my life. And it's whatever gorgeous. He's doing, I'll do it. Like, I'm literally, his meditations, while I'm complaining about them, I was like, those are good meditations. He said, I have free access to creative genius. I was like, I wrote that in my phone too. I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to shine like he does.
Your skin is far better than, he has beautiful skin and yours is far better. You have the radiant skin
of a chemically peeled Botox. Shiny. Boxes of compliments, darling. But yeah, he's a good looking guy. Okay, so then everyone's getting ready to go. And like you said, he comes downstairs and Shanice tells him, oh, it's Alex. Hey, Alex, I want to see you get mad because you're always so chill. It would be like hilarious if you got mad, right, guys? And he goes, personal space, Shanice. I'm watching you. Personal space. And she goes, me? And he's like, yeah, like you were just grabbing me. She goes, I was? And then we see a clip at the restaurant.
I don't like that. He goes, I don't like
that. Yeah. She invaded his personal space. There's a lot about touching in this episode.
True.
A lot about trying to make average touching abnormal touching. And I don't like it.
Yeah. So then we see a flashback. And Alex is like talking at the bar about something. And he's like using his hands. And then she's like, no. And she grabs his hand and like pulls it down. Which admittedly, I can't stand when people do that. But I would not be like, hey, by the way, personal space. Okay.
In front of everybody.
Like, I don't like, I'd be like, hey, by the way, when you grab my hand, that's kind of like, I just don't really like that. Cause you're like,
I feel like you would have been like, don't grab my hand. What the hell?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have waited until the day of when it had passed. And then you could make it into a, ooh, you invaded my personal space in front of the other roommates to make that person look like a fucking idiot.
But then what we find out is what this is really about is not the personal space. Because then he tells us, Shanice is like technically my type, but I'm hesitant to get to know her because of what I've read about her. I was like, oh, wow, I'm glad. Like, you're such a like a lovely, beautiful, soulful person that you, rather than getting to know someone, you would just like to read some gossip about someone and judge them based on that. Was that part of your affirmations? I am someone who just judges a book by their cover. Is that what that is?
Or are you just jealous that you were about to get involved with someone else more famous than you in your life, sir?
Or that.
So then the producer asks, so how did you find out? What did you find out about Shanice? And he's like, well, I've heard things and I've seen things about Shanice, but I don't feel like that's my business, which is why I just brought it up on national television. After like completely being negative to her in front of other people. And so Shanice is like, I mean, scared of me? I'm like, what? I'm like 5'7". I weigh like 127 pounds. I'm not like going to hurt you, Alex. I promise. And Alex is like, we're going to have a good time today. So they all get in their cars. And Bria's taking her fucking dog, Milo. Because God forbid, Bria goes to a field day without emotional support.
Right.
Also, exactly. I would bring Bueller, too, if I had him. I just wouldn't.
Yeah, but guess what? That dog's going to shit on that beach and she's not going to pick it up. You know,
she's
not
going to pick it up.
That's why Bria drives me nuts because like she just sort of had, she's so entitled.
Well, wait, we saw her pick it up though last week. Remember when they said your dog's shitting everywhere that Alex is trying to do yoga or 2 weeks ago. And then they showed a clip of her picking up her dog poop. So
okay,
you know
I
what?
Rescind
I take
it.
It
back. You know, she does pick it up. You know, Bria, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You know what? You defied our expectations. Thank
it's
you for picking up Milo's poop.
It's still too new to know who we hate. Isn't that frustrating? It's like we'd love everybody, but also we could hate everybody. We just
Bria's
going
to be my favorite by the end
yet.
Of the season. I'll be like, Bria, yes, queen. My queen, Bria. You know, that's just how I roll with reality shows. I just, that's up and down. Every episode is a new day to be judged.
Yeah.
So, they're going to this beach and Shanice is telling the girls in the girls' van, she's like, this is so weird. Alex like came up to me and was like, personal space, Shanice. And I was like, okay, but like now I'm like still thinking about it. And Jordan's like, well, you know what, you gotta say it in the moment, otherwise you don't have an opportunity to rectify the situation, Shanice. So Shanice is like, well, I'm just not gonna talk to him at all. So they meanwhile in the other van, they're just talking about boobs. Amir's like, yeah. Hey guys, I saw Shanice's boobs. I was carrying a ladder to take a shower, and she sort of like poked in from, and I was like looking between the rungs, and there were two nips right there.
Yeah, she's like, she just came out. Like, I needed to take a shower, and she was taking forever, so she just came out in a thong and stood in front of me trying to have a conversation. And Silas is like, with no top? And they're like, no shit, Silas. She was just in a thong. What did you just hear? And Amir's like, I mean, worse things have happened to me. And then it cuts to Alex looking all mad. Like, yeah. You see? This is exactly what I heard about her. Boob shower! Boob shower!
Just what I read. I read in
Alex,
Time magazine that
Alex,
she shows
been
her
walking
boobs.
Around shirtless this whole fucking time. All you yes. need to get the fuck over yourself. So now it's a problem that a girl is shirtless. Give me a break.
So you can be a thirst trap, but she can't be a thirst trap?
Yes. So then Alex looks mad. So Silas is like, well, was there a specific reason? Is there a why? Was she holding the show my boob football? Because you can only really show your boobs if you're holding the show my boob football. Okay, I'm married.
Yeah. So then Amir's saying that he's still interested in Jordan. Like, that's his number one priority. And Silas is like, okay, I just want to ask, is anyone else in the car attracted to Jordan? Because you guys have all kind of came to me and said you like Jordan. So
they're
Alex,
like, all of us stupid. She's hot.
Yeah. But like, she's gorgeous. So then, and then the guys are talking about, like, oh, well, you know, Alex, he'd probably want to have like an intellectual conversation with her and like all that stuff. And Nick is like, yeah, Alex, like, you definitely need an erudite, you know, that's for sure, which doesn't make
an erudite.
Well, he means that, like, erudite, you know?
Well, I don't know what it is. I'm dumb.
But it's like, it's not, either way, he's basically saying, like, you need someone who's, like an intellectual. But Alex looks
but
all
how
confused.
How do I spell it? I'm going to look it up.
E-R-U-D-I-T-E, if you're erudite.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that word. What's that mean? That means having or showing great knowledge or learning.
It's an adjective, but it was used as a noun, and it was also mispronounced. So Alex is very confused by the entire idea.
Okay, so he's saying you need like an erudite person? How would you say it?
He's basically saying you need someone who's
erudite person.
Yeah.
You would need like an erudite person. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I just learned something. So then Silas is like, I'm sorry, but isn't that called sapiosexual? Okay, now let me look that up.
Sapiosexual is something I've definitely heard of, but I actually don't know what it means. Finding intelligence sexually attractive or arousing. Oh, yeah, that's Alex to a T. That's Alex for to a T. He doesn't care about physical features. He just happens to be attracted to the most beautiful person in the house. He just really wants
to. I'm sepia sexual. I'm only attracted to people when they're photographed in sepia tones.
You're like, but you see, like,
you're
like
right.
Abraham Lincoln really does it for you.
I love a goddamn copper painting or something. I love a tin type. Yeah. I get boners when I watch like old Westerns on TV. I'm like, yes. Oh. But I think that you are right about what you said, that he's like, oh yeah, I'm only attracted to intellectuals, but wants the Playboy bunny, like from the hottest Playboy bunny whose entire Instagram is about how hot she is in the house. Not saying that Playboy bunnies can't be smart. I'm just saying, come on now.
Did he even like talk to Mariah? Mariah, whose interests seemed the most aligned with him. So like the two of them would like talk about, you would think the two of them would connect about affirmations and meditation and moon ceremonies and candles and crystals and special rituals and honoring things. But no, he's like, no, I'm gonna go for the hot girl, but you know, but I'm interested. I'm like turned on by intelligence, which by the way, it's not to say that Jordan is not intelligent. She actually strikes me as very intelligent, but he's like, he's full of it, right? Like what intellectual yes. conversations has he,
how
has
would he know?
Has, I have not seen him strike up any intellectual conversations with Jordan. It's more like that. Yeah. But then Silas is, then Nick though, ugh, then Nick is driving me nuts because Nick is this person. We all know this person. Nick is like, yeah, I think that we have a brother sister vibe. Yeah, yeah, we do have one. And they're like, what? You're obsessed with her for crying out loud.
And Silas is like, you know, I've never seen Nick shoot his shot in person. He can say what he wants in DMs, but then when the woman's actually there in the room, nothing. And Alex is like, yeah, Nick is my brother, but he's not answering that fully, honestly, because he's ruminating on something. He's ruminating, guys. He's ruminating on something.
Yeah.
Else.
And the producer's like, so Alex, is there something that you're not telling people? And he's like, or maybe Nick has said, they said that to Nick, I think, actually, Nick sighs. And then the producer says to Alex, like, you know what the secret is, but you're going to keep it to yourself. And Alex is like, I'm not fully clear on what Nick wants, but I think he's being intellectually dishonest, which is a total turnoff for me because I'm a sapiosexual and I'm really turned on by intellectual honesty.
I'm a sapiosexual. He's being dishonest and he's doing it without a filter. So that's a problem.
Alex is also the person who loves saying that he knows something, but he's not going to talk about it. He's probably a vague poster on Facebook, let's be honest. Can't believe what happened to me last night.
I never thought it would come to this.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah. Like the last parking spot. What? Are you lucky or did someone steal it from you? What's happening?
It's now they're at the beach. And they're setting up and they're setting up at the beach and Silas is planting umbrellas in the beach. So crazy. He is jamming them in there like he's trying to murder some animal he's that's burrowing under there.
Yeah. Like, why are you hurting him? What did the beach do to you? He's like mad at the beach. And then the beach. Oh, so then Jasmine reminds us who's in charge and whose show this is. She's very Kyle and Amanda from Summer House. You know how Kyle and Amanda are constantly reminding everybody this is their house. They started this house. They're the couple of this house. That's Jasmine and Silas on this show. And Jasmine's like, well, when Silas and I put together the itinerary for this trip, oh, God, really? Every fucking second of the day, you is all because of you two. Thank the Lord for putting you two together on this earth so the rest of us could think of going to the beach and playing games together in a beach town on a fucking beach.
I know. So then Nick and Alex are walking, and Nick is like, people need to stop asking me if I'm feeling Jordan, like, or feeling Shanice, you know? And Alex is like, no one's asking you. It's just Silas. And he's like, I think he wants another couple that he and Jasmine can hang out with. But like, I'm going to drop a bomb. I'm going to drop a big bomb. So now.
Gay. Did you think gay?
Of course.
Of course, right?
Of course. If he's like not shooting, if he's like always like talking big talk, but when he comes down to it, he's like sort of shying away from girls and always he's going to say something. He's also well-dressed, which doesn't make you gay, but also, like, you know, it's sort of supporting a case here. So we're like,
I don't necessarily get gay vibes from him, but I do get 30 pairs of pants vibes from him. Yeah.
I did not get gay vibes from him, but then when they start hinting at this stuff and then he says, I'm going to drop a bomb, I'm like, oh, okay, this is probably what it is.
And also because he's been DMing the girls, like, so that's a very closeted thing to do, right? If you're DMing all the girls that you know you're about to be on a TV show with, being like, fire, fire, is so that they'll say, oh, he's been DMing me fire symbols, but then he's not making any moves in public on me, so...
It's a way to
like seems like a typical closeted move to me,
right? So, but people say,
and
like,
I know complain. It's gross to like talk about people, whatever. We're not supposed to speculate, but I literally think the show is trying to make us speculate, so that's what we're doing. Get off my ass.
Yeah, we're not saying that he's gay or closeted. We're saying that the show was giving us breadcrumbs that was going to lead us to that.
I thought they were leading us down to a gay cellar. I was like, I can't wait. I love a gay
cellar.
I was
excited. Like, I feel like it's so exciting. I feel like it's so rare that we get to see people come out on reality TV because it's like you have to really catch that moment, you know? And I was like,
it's always as bisexual. It's always like, oh my God, I'm a hot girl and I'm coming out as bi. And so it's like, oh, okay, let's bring the parade around. But this one, they really led me to believe it. And also, even though I thought for sure that was it, I was like, no way are they putting two gay guys on Summer House.
Same.
If they do that, I will fall over dead from excitement.
Yeah. Bravo. Yeah. Bravo, which has so much credibility with the gays and has such a big gay following and is sort of known as like a gay network, is very reluctant to ever even have gay cast members on their shows, let alone more than one. So I was like, this can't be. This is crazy.
Unless it's
Project
weird.
Runway, I should say, or Top Chef.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go to, now it's time for field day. And it's, the captains are Jordan and Nick. I was like, oh, good. This is good because I don't really have to take notes here. So they pick teams and Milo the dog is the coach. And now it's like tug of war and a three-legged
ring. I'm texting. That's my note. Right. Currently, I'm petting my dog Bueller while you talk about this.
The best
I'm
part,
not writing down notes. For
the
this.
Best part about this field day was how the producers kept on highlighting the personal space between Alex and Shanice. They're like, personal space, personal space. And then Shanice was like taunting Alex. And field day continues on in a typically uninteresting way.
So then Amir has Alex film him jogging shirtless. And they're like, is he taking thirst trap videos? And he is. And then Amir invites Jordan for a walk on the water. And he's like, hey, I have to find a way to win her over because Amir's playbook to winning a girl is a playbook. So step one, keep flirting. And so we see the example. He's like, you did good. You always impress me. Ding.
Yeah. And he's like, make it discreet. He's like, make it discreet because if there isn't that vibe, you got to pull back. You see him like unfolding a ladder and her looking at him. And he's like, no one to fold that ladder up and put it to the side. So
know when you can reach a curtain and when you need a ladder to get that curtain.
So Bria then Bria's like, Shanice, you should talk to Alex, okay? Because you're on a TV show, okay? So this non-confrontational thing may be fine when you're like with your friends at like a restaurant or at a bank or something like that. But like you're on a TV show, so you have to talk to Alex. So Shanice is like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. So she goes, hey, Alex, I do have to talk to you. What's up with that personal space thing? And he's just like staring at her like, fuck you, basically, like just so cold. And I'm like, you are such a dick. You make all these affirmations and she's trying to like actually have a conversation.
Total asshole.
And you're not going to like, you're just going to be a dick about it. Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's being really mean. And so then we go back to Amir and Jordan and he's like, just walk with me. Walk with me on the water. She goes, absolutely not. My feet are cold and that's how you get sick. My grandma told me. And that's why I keep my socks on at night when I sleep. And he's like, what? You keep your socks on while you sleep? I'm like, oh, you're trying to flirt with someone by forcing them to do something they don't want constantly. She doesn't like the water. You took her kayaking. She didn't want to go in the water. She didn't like it. Now you're trying to make her go in the water again. How is this flirting? This is control. This is control shit. I don't like it.
And Amir's also like, you can see Amir's trying to process the idea that Jordan wears socks to bed. He's like, but bedtime is no sock time. Those are the rules. You take off your socks before you get into bed. How do you wear your socks into bed? You can't do that.
Who does this? Notice he had the cedar tree on his back. That's the Lebanese tattoo. It's the tree of Lebanon.
Oh, I thought that was a reference to Charbel's dish he made on Top Chef.
He's just really quick with his Bravo knowledge.
Yeah, no, that was cute. That was so cool. He had the little cedar tree.
So,
back
Alex.
To Shanice.
Oh, so back to Shanice and Alex. Okay, so Shanice is like, I mean, that was awful when you said that this morning. When you were like, personal space? I was like, okay, I don't want to talk to him anymore. Personal space? What? I'm literally not going to talk to you and I'm going to back off. Right? And he's just like, just
got
being
it.
So mean. Like, and she goes, okay, well, bye, because, like, I'm trying to respect you, right? Am I right? And she's got this big, goofy smile, like, obviously trying so hard. And he's just being quiet and being an asshole. And he goes, got it.
He's like, I can tell that Shanice is a sweet person. But, like, last night, an article was about her was sent to me, and I thought it was an affirmation. And I was like, I am a stalker. I am obsessed with a former celebrity. Wait a second. This is not an affirmation. This is gossip. So apparently Shanice was dating an actor and this actor was basically put it all out there. And I haven't, did you actually find out who this actor is? Should we look?
Oh, let's look. He's from Insecure. I know that.
Really? Is it Jay? What's his face?
Actor Insecure.
Oh, no. I thought it was that he was an Insecure actor, not an actor from Insecure, but maybe it's an actor. Or were you just making a joke and I'm an
Could
idiot?
You imagine? Insecure actor. No, it's from the TV show Insecure. Why would they call an actor Insecure?
Because he was...
Insecure actor.
No, I thought he was an
isn't
insecure
that, isn't
actor.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
I thought that is... Well, a redundancy. I thought it was that it was an insecure actor who was lashing out at her. Okay, Shanice, Martha Summerhouse.
No, he's Norman Towns, who stars in the comedy drama Insecure. Okay, let's look.
Norman Towns. Well...
Hot.
He is.
Oh my God.
I understand why he's insecure,
though. I'd be fucking outside this guy's house too. My goodness.
Yeah. Sir, don't be super hot and then be upset that your super hot ex wants to camp out and just get a few more looks at your hotness. But I understand why he's insecure, because I would be if I were named Norman Towns and not Norman Cities.
Oh, God. It's like, God, can I just be a more important town? Maybe a city of some kind? Norman States, after he finally wins his Oscar. He's going to be like, I am Norman Nations.
Norman Metropolis.
Yeah, he's this guy's gorgeous. Okay. Norman, it's me. I'm in your bushes. Come outside, Norman.
I wonder if he's a sapiosexual.
Well, he wouldn't be into me then. So this guy puts out on his Instagram this whole post written in caps, which, you know, stop yelling at me. Okay, I'm not stalking you yet. I will be now. But why are you yelling at me on Instagram? Was my question. But they highlighting it says, insecure actor shares this crazy breakup experience with his ex, Shanice Jordan, who is stalking him. And they highlight stalking. And the producer is like, so what's the situation with your ex? And Shanice is like, oh.
So Bria's like, okay, Shanice was in a toxic relationship. And Shanice goes, yeah, well, I dated my ex for a year. By the way, it's like different talking heads all at once. And she's like, I dated my ex for a year. And he's an up-and-coming actor / population center. And he's coming up with these lies. And he put them on.
Population center? Like town?
Town. He's a zoned region. He's an up-and-coming zoned region. Have you ever seen Sim City? It was based on him.
It's a tiny part of a city. And he's coming up with these lies and he's putting them on his Instagram stories. And it went out and then it got on blogs. And before you know it, there it is. So Jasmine's like, yeah, when Shanice broke up with him, I think she just wanted revenge. You know, single people. Glenn Close, bunny boiling, you know how it goes.
And so Alex is like, I mean, it was on The Breakfast Club and all this other stuff. So, and Bria's like, yeah, the rumors of her being a stalker and harassing him and all these negative things are not true. Okay. I'm like, well, Bria's credibility is a little shot after that whole Phil thing, but I actually do believe her on this. And Shanice goes, well, I'm not going to lie. I did do some of it. You know, I did, but I didn't call him a bunch of times. I wrote several letters with my blood, which I believe is actually really considerate.
I didn't boil his bunny. I baked it. It was for dinner. Yes. I was trying to be nice.
I didn't sleep in his bushes. I slept in his bed after I broke into the house when he was gone on vacation.
So we see more of this clip of his Instagram post. And it says, harassing me, sleeping outside my house, making fake accounts in my name, applying for random jobs as me, sending someone to my door, sending OOD. I don't know what that means.
Wait, applying as random jobs as him is actually hilarious. That's a very funny version of being, if you're broken up with someone, like having, like applying to like the movie theater as like, hi, I'm. What's his name? Norman Towns. Norman Towns, I am applying to be work at your movie theater. That's kind of funny.
So weird. And sending food to his door. I guess like calling DoorDash on him or something. Sending explicit pictures of us to people and companies. And this is all in caps.
Like Applebee's. So like senior comms director at Applebee's is like, well, we got another picture of Norman and Shanice doing it.
So, Elon Musk is like, all right, guys, new rules on Twitter. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Whoa, I just got some boobies in a thong here. This is pretty crazy. Wow. Is that guy from Insecure? God, I love that show.
Wow, he is really hot. I have to say, I am straight, but I am turning right now. I am turning by this Norman Towns. He's unbelievably hot. So, but then Jasmine has this weird thing where she goes, listen, like, all these, like, talking about the phone calls. She goes, you know, if he doesn't answer the phone, of course it's going to say 18 missed calls. I'm like, that means there were
18 because there's nothing to break them up. If there's two missed calls and then he answers, it wouldn't say 18 missed calls. It wouldn't say two missed calls, right? So funny. So Alex is like, well, I don't think that's the type of vibe I'm trying to be around. You're not famous because, I mean, look, babe, you're famous because you're cousins with John Legend, and you're choosing the side of the actor over the girl so you can have famous people cred. Like, yeah. Oh, I side with the actor. He's famous. I don't side with the crazy stalker because I'm related to a famous actor, so I'm anti-stalker. Get over yourself, Alex, okay?
Also, I'm going to say, I think that Alex wants to go for Jordan, and I think he's like afraid Shanice is going to somehow ruin it. Like, if Shanice is into him or something like that, or if he's, I think he's like actively trying to push away Shanice, because he's like, ew, I like Jordan, you know? And so he's like, he's trying to push them on
a-hole, but I think you're right. And I would just like to, if anybody knows Alex, could you please have him type this into his phone for next time he meditates? I'm not famous enough for this. I'm not famous enough for this. I'm not famous enough for this. Thanks.
Yeah. So anyway, she's like, well, I just feel awkward sitting by you because you said personal space. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I won't say a word to you. He goes, sorry. Sometimes I've got to just like find my space, you know? She goes,
I said, yeah. Oh my God, finally, we're good. Yeah, finally. Okay, love you. Love you back. Okay, call me back. Do not forget to call me. I haven't called you yet, but you better call me back. I can see you. Okay, I'm just going to be right over here. I see you still. Peekaboo.
And then a bunch of geese are like, ha, 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 ha. And then everyone's like, gotta go. The geese are here. Gotta go.
Amir's like, those geese are terrifying. And I like that Amar gets in Amir, he goes, God, geese are aggressive.
It's my worst nightmare. Geese. I was bullied by geese. Geese are like, hey, can you fly? Hey, can you fly? How tall can your ladder get? Not as high as I can fly. Go.
Silas is like, talking football. The geese are out of the house. The geese are out of the house.
I'm sorry. We have to send these geese back to New York. So they go back to the house to have a steak dinner. And Preston is, there's like a conversation about making mac and cheese. And Preston's going to like make mac. He's like, I'm lazy. I'm just not going to make a bechamel tonight from a mac and cheese. By the way, I believe Preston probably makes an amazing mac and cheese. Like, you know, you can just tell he can throw down when it comes to mac
and cheese. Well, bechamel, can I just say, just for the record, bechamel's so easy. Bechamel's like literally the easiest thing to make. Like, what do you mean you're too tired to do a bechamel? You are not a true mac and cheese I can't believe somebody actually had the nerve on television to say, I'm too lazy to do a bechamel. It's milk. It's
milk and flour and butter.
It's easy. It's like easy. But I will say, after my anger passed, his mac and cheese looked very good. It was very creamy. How was it so creamy?
It also was like so deep. Did you notice? It was insanely good looking.
It was so good looking. How did he do that?
It was like the
without a bechamel, because I know he didn't whip out Velveeta, because then anybody, I will whip out Velveeta. You know, I love a Velveeta with all the other cheese mixed in. The Velveeta is my mom's trick for a very smooth. It's not really a trick, is it? It's just chemicals. It's a chemical, yeah. But that's her trick for it, and it works. You know, yeah. if you mix Velveeta as your melty base, and then you put all the other fancy cheeses in with it, that's great. Is that what he did? I need to know.
Or he maybe put like some cream in. He just like, I don't know. But it was gorgeous. It was the Norman Towns of mac and cheese, you know? So yeah. Amir's talking to him about mac and cheese. He goes, so do you put breadcrumbs on yours or anything? And Preston goes, no, I'm black.
And Amir goes, "Ats."
Amir goes, what about crackers? He goes, are you trying to make even more of a pun here? Like, what are you doing?
And Preston's like, let's be clear. Breadcrumbs on mac and cheese is a surefire way to never be invited to a black ass home ever again. And yeah. He starts laughing. He's like, I can't. Yeah. I can't get over it. I can't get over it.
Oh, actually, yeah. Amir says, my mom's mac and cheese is Velveeta shell. And Preston's like, I can't. So yeah. Maybe he does not use Velveeta. So,
see, there you go.
Yeah. And then Amir tells us,
by the way, before people come after me for Velveeta, go after my mother. Okay.
Oh,
I'll give you her email. You guys can curse out my mother. I didn't say I do it. I said I've done it. But in general, oh, I do it, I'm a bechamel person because it's super simple.
Oh, I do Velveeta. In fact, Kenji Lopez. You told me about it. You did. And then on top of that, Kenji Lopez Alt has a recipe for stovetop mac and cheese as well. And that uses Velveeta. And he
also writes. Why can't I just commit to it? I'm like, I don't use, I hate Velveeta. That's disgusting. My mom does it. I do it. Who taught you how to do it? That's like crazy.
I love that this is where you had your flinch about Velveeta. You're like, wait.
I am, because it's so wrong, but it's also so right.
I have no shame in it. Okay, Velveeta serves a purpose. There's a place for Velveeta, and it's in melty mac and cheese.
I feel like half of my body is made out of Velveeta. I feel like it's in my DNA. I've eaten so much of it.
It's great. It's called, I mean, it has the word velvet in it for a reason. So
and Ida.
And Ida, because Cheetah Rivera invented it. So
Velveeta Rivera.
So
the mac and cheese woman in her velvet cape.
So Amir tells us, growing up, my mom hated how much of a picky eater I was. So she would enroll me in culinary cooking camps. So she was like, look, motherfucker, you need to learn how to cook for yourself. I love that. I love that. Like, you don't want to eat the fish sticks? Fine. You're going to fish stick school.
Yeah. I love that too. So he's getting really fancy with the broccoli. He's like, I'm going to use some rosemary, and then I'm going to grill the broccoli with the rosemary, and then I'm going to take it off, and it's going to slow cook, and then those juices are going to come back with rosemary. I was like, okay. So then, so broccoli, you know what I mean? Don't try to romance the broccoli.
And then it cuts to Alex in the gym. They have like one of those like workout things where it's like a screen. I forgot what it's called. It's called like the mirror or something. And he's like trying to figure it out. He's just staring at it. He's like, do I look at myself or do I look at the instructions? Which one's more compelling?
Is he dancing in it? I couldn't tell what he was doing.
He was confused. There were no affirmations nearby.
Okay, so then it is time to have some dinner, right? And so they're joking like, oh my God, we should have a girls' night and a boys' night. That's what we should do. Mm-hmm. And Amir's like, Silas, somebody asked where the forks are. Oh, because they're making fun of him for going, baby, baby.
All the time. Like,
Silas is constantly going, baby.
Right, because that was last episode also. They're like he's like, where's my wife? Where's my wife? And they're like, had been apart for 5 minutes.
Baby! So, and on Summer House, we've got babe, babe,
babe,
babe,
babe,
babe,
babe,
babe.
So they're talking about like, doing a girls' night and a boys' night at some point, and it's not going to be tonight, but they're just talking about it. And Jasmine's like, I want to know what guys' night entails. And Amir's like, no, I want to know what girls' night entails. So Jordan's like, well, I can tell you what we're not doing. We're not staying out till 3 or 4 in the morning, right, Silas? Come on, I'm not to blame this time. I'm not to blame. Come on, it's funny. We're in a good place.
And he's like, I thought we were in a good place. And she's like, I'm just joking with you. And he's like, okay, well, just bring her home before 3. That's it. And so they're like, yeah, you're still uncomfortably misogynistic.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Like, curfew for your wife. So Jordan's like, we're going to go to the club and we're going to have a good time on girls' night. And Jasmine's like, yeah, we worked in a club. That's how we met. You know, we were going to the strip club and the free drinks were great, which I think this is Jasmine's way of needling Silas, right?
Yes.
Because that and was like
Silas,
his trigger point.
Because he's embarrassing at this point. Like, enough. Like, we get it, Silas. But I'm sure she's had a talk with him. Like, don't look like a fucking controlling asshole. That would be great on TV, okay? You look crazy. And mm-hmm. Stop making me look like this. And so he's like, well, she's got to pay for her own drinks. That's it. No free drinks from guys. Nuh-uh. And Jasmine's like, what's the problem with that? And then Bria just gets up and leaves. She's like, I'm going to go clutch my emotional support animal right now. This is a lot. This is a lot for me.
And Silas, like, if you accept a free drink, the wrong guys take that as an invitation. Well, yell at the wrong guys and not the girls. How about that? So Jasmine's like, well, I thought you guys are just like intimidated. And it's like, fine, like we're going to have a great time. And like, we want you guys to have a great time on guys' night, you know, so you should want us to have a good time. He's like, pay for your own drinks. Jasmine's like, okay, well, I meant that from the bottom of my heart that I want you guys to have a good time. Okay. And I'm saying that as one married person to another married person who the first married person is married to.
To the only person I can trust, not because you're my husband, but because we're both married.
Yeah.
Okay? Trust me. So he's like, well, when Jasmine's around her friends, how she acts is very new to me because we met during the pandemic. So we would spend a lot of time together and I never saw the chance to see her with her girls. I'm not naive. I know they worked at Playboy and they had a good time, but this is my wife now. No.
This is
your wife, but this is a woman that is currently married to you while you're not being a complete fuckwit, and she's not going to be your wife if you keep fucking acting like that.
This is
okay. You're going to get to remember what it's like to be back at the pandemic alone.
Exactly.
At home. This with is no someone to go out with.
You met in the pandemic who you clearly love bombed and she was lonely and into it. You guys jumped into this and now you're actually seeing her in her real world and like not on Zoom and you don't like it. But guess what? That's who she is. That's her life. That's her friends. And that's how she likes to party. And you got to get used to it.
Yes. So, you know, I'm sorry. I was about to read my same notes. Okay. So then we get into drama music. Dun, dun, dun. Because someone's like, oh, Shanice is like, I mean, this one gets really drunk when we go out. I mean, Jasmine, am I right? Everybody still says about that time that Jasmine got so drunk that she fell asleep at work. Okay, let me tell you what happened. So we were going to a party, and then we were, like, getting wasted. And then we, would like, went to another party, and then we got wasted. And then we had to go to work, and then she fell asleep on my shoulder at work. And then I got sent home because, like, I was really drunk. But then she could, like, snap to it because she's like Jasmine. Like, she, even before she was married, she was like, guys, I'm married. And it just, like, made her immediately smarter than everybody else.
Silas is like... He's like, I didn't know about that. So Preston's like, so who's doing the dishes? Let's do dishes, okay? So Jasmine basically is like, I want to go to sleep. He's like, baby. So everyone's kind of like, is Silas being serious right now? Is he really being this possessive or whatever? Like, what was, like, they're like, Preston, what was Silas like? What was Silas like when you knew him in college? Was he like this much of a, like a jerk? And he's like, oh no, yeah, he was pretty much always like this, yeah.
And they're like, well, Jasmine's totally different. And Jordan's like, yeah, I don't think Silas realizes the pre-pandemic Jasmine part. Like, she's definitely struggling. And I see it because I'm struggling too. I mean, what are we supposed to only go to tea parties now? Thank you, next. That's it for me. That's a no for me. Thanks. No.
Yeah. So that so Jasmine is like saying that like Silas needs some chillax. And so she goes into the truth booth and she's like, yeah, marriage is bittersweet. Like, honestly, like the idea, like everyone can do this for like decade after decade, it does scare me. I'm like, well, there it is. Here, the truth all comes out. She, of course, I mean, we knew this was the case, right? Like, you, no one talks so much about being married unless you are trying to convince yourself that you made the right decision.
Well, yeah, especially when this guy's like suddenly starting to show all of his controlling tendencies because you're around people for the first time, you know?
It's yeah.
It's crazy. And but I have a feeling like people like that usually show those tendencies right up front. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they're hard to notice unless you see it through other people's reactions where you're like, yeah. Oh, this isn't hot. This is actually horrifying. Okay. So then Preston's in the living room with Bree and Jordan and he's like, you know, I get it. Like, but listen, guys, I mean, I've never had to deal with someone trying to protect me, but I've heard from many women that they want their men to protect them. Like, oh, I can't.
Well, I don't think he was advocating for it, but I think he was just saying like, yeah, like it, to me, it's foreign, but apparently, like I've heard that women actually like this. And Amir's
it's not
like,
just yeah. protecting them. It's saying you can do this. You can do that. You can't. It's being controlling. It's being
yeah.
weird.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I
yeah.
get he's standing up for his friend, you know,
but yeah, but there is a difference between saying you're going to protect the person you love versus controlling them and saying you have yeah. to behave like this because protecting would is not saying you have to come back home and be safe with me. Protecting is like, because that's not doing anything to the people out there in the world who are being terrible, right? Like, I don't know. You know what? I'm talking myself into down a path. I'm like not even interested in discussing like what protecting even means.
Well,
like,
it's
I
just literally don't guys. Care. It's guys mansplaining to a couple of women what yes. women are telling them that they want. And Amir is like, yeah, a lot of women in Texas, like if you don't do that for them, then it's not good. I mean, if you go out till 2 or 3 in the morning and your man doesn't say anything, that's not cool in Texas. I was like, what are you talking about? And then he goes, yeah, like say Preston was catcalling you, one of you, I'd be like, who the fuck are you to catcall her? And Jordan's like, well, he has catcalled me, so what are you gonna do about it? So they laugh.
Yeah, meanwhile Mariah still on the drive home to New York after she put like laundry and she Bria's chest, and they're like talking about, this is what I would do, this is how I would beat up someone. So so then they're like, oh hey, Nick is here, because Nick is just like sitting at like a table far away with his hand and like his head in his hand quietly, and you sort of feel like, oh, he's gonna come out the closet, like he's gonna come again, because the show has led us down this path.
They're leading us down, and even with Shanice leading us even further, Shanice goes, so Nick, What's your dating life like? Do you like date a wide variety of women? Like,
how many calls do you leave? Do you make before it's too much for the other person?
So let's say you're making a hamburger. Would you be the slaughterer or the grinder?
So Nick goes, well, my preference is black women, but you know, like, and I seem to remember that there was like a commercial break that they inserted right here. I could be wrong, but there probably wasn't, but I felt like they were teasing this out into a commercial. He goes, but I am gated off emotionally. And
he's like, I'm seeing someone in New York. And Jordan's like, is it your girlfriend? And he goes, yeah. So they start wooing for him. And Nick's like, God, finally I can say it out loud. I'm a heterosexual, everybody. A straight man. I was like, oh my God, give him a parade. Streamers are coming down, glitter.
Oh, I'm so glad he got this off of his chest, that he has a girlfriend.
Thank God.
He doesn't have to disappoint anyone anymore.
So glad straight guys
anymore.
Have a chance now on TV.
You know, it's
fucking
so,
amazing.
It's so hard what straight guys have to go through, having to keep relationships under wraps for 3 days. So Bria's like, but now they're all like, oh my God, Nick, that's so cool. We never thought anyone would want to date you. And Bria's like, are you kidding me? You've been seeing someone, but you slipped into Jordan's DMs and Shanice's DMs and my DMs. What is going on right now?
Yeah, and then we see a clip. So it's like we see something flash on the screen and he's commenting. I don't know when this was taken, but he's commenting on something from May 7th, 2018. And he's like, have you always been fine? And she's like, and in my DMs. And then Jordan tells us, oh my God, so the fire emojis going on in my DMs? Okay. And Shanice is like, I mean, Nick has a girlfriend? Because before going into the house, Nick sent me a DM saying he wanted to marry me. And, like, I just laughed. And then he said, don't laugh. And I was like, sorry, but we haven't even met yet. And he said, but we'll meet soon. I was like, yeah, when you open your door, because, like, I'm standing here with a pizza you didn't order.
I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy holding a dead rabbit asking him to love me.
That brings us to the end of Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Hilarious.
Man, I encourage you guys, if you are not watching this show, watch the show.
You gotta watch it.
It's really a good show.
It's so good. And there's gonna be like even more people coming. Well, because I guess Phil didn't work out and they kicked out Mariah. So here come the two replacements are coming up next. So the door keeps, but this was like the first season of Summer House. Remember, there was like Jacqueline, the fit model. There was like a revolving door of people. So it's so good. So thank you, everyone. Yeah. Who has tuned in, go to watchcrappers.com, get those tickets, subscribe to our show, by the way. If you haven't smashed that subscribe button, go do it.
And like and subscribe.
And we're gonna see you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or You can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.